Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from Jesus Christ and from God the Father. Amen. A sermon text from Acts chapter 4. For certainly in this city both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and people of Israel, were gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. They did whatever your hand and your plan had decided beforehand should happen. This is the word of God. Dear friends, what an odd world we live in. As an example of that, consider the warning labels that we see on certain products. On a peanut butter cup, you find the notice, may contain peanuts. On frozen food, you see the suggestion, defrost before eating. On a milk container, after opening, keep upright. The list goes on. Probably because someone did those things, and so they needed a warning. What about you and me? What about a warning label for sinners? Maybe something like, strays into danger often. Needs ongoing forgiveness. What about may spontaneously spoil? How about this label? After befriending you, may betray you. Or denies close friends. Or on Palm Sunday, may sing your praises, and then a few days later, call for your death. How to predict the sinner? It seems very difficult when we're just as likely to betray you as we are to befriend you. But there is one who is different. God's love is steadfast. He didn't ignore our warning labels because he could see right through to the heart. And he knew exactly what he was doing. The Father sent his Son into this city on Palm Sunday to suffer for sins. That's where this parade was leading him. He knew what was coming. It's just that God still wanted us. God still loved us and still loves us and promises that that love is unbroken and that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So God accepts not our sin, but the sad, the hard, the humbling part of saving you and me. And that's what these believers were talking about when they prayed in Acts 4 after the fact. Some of them had just been released from prison. Now it was illegal activity to proclaim the gospel. But they still said, we must obey God rather than men. They said, there's no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. And they went back and they said a prayer of which this sermon text is part. And these people, these apostles, who certainly knew the events of Holy Week, say something that maybe makes us pause on Palm Sunday and consider the kind of people that welcomed Jesus, that received him into the holy city of Jerusalem that day. Their prayer says it wasn't just the rulers and leaders who cried out for Jesus to die, but the people. It was the people. On Holy Week, some of the people said what we've sung today, Hosanna to the Son of David, as Jesus rode in triumphant majesty on this regal animal to us, humble looking, but to them at least a symbol of royalty and majesty. Not acclaimed by royalty or majestic persons, but by the common people, by the children. 5 days later, the people, not just the leaders and the rulers, cried out, "Crucify him," calling for his blood. In fact, saying his blood be on us and our children. And this is so like human beings. Human beings are so moody and wishy-washy and unreliable. The same person who loved you a day ago, last week, a year ago, now despises you and can't stand to be around you. They are so infected by sin, they should come with a warning label. The same holds true for our worst enemies, by the way. Our worst enemies being ourselves, our sinful flesh. We're there to please God on Sunday, but then we're back to grumbling about work or school on Monday. We're happy to open our new hymnals and sing here, but we're reluctant or maybe in denial to praise him out there. We're glad to be forgiven, but when slighted and insulted, we are slow to forgive and listen to an apology. We know all the right answers in Sunday school and confirmation class, but in real life, when it matters most before the world, we neglect to praise God and share the message. We may be totally different people from one moment to the next, lukewarm, moody, insecure, unreliable, wishy-washy, in a word, sinful. We believe, and then we sin. My friends, this should not be. But there is one who is loyal. There is one whose love is steadfast and never wavering. There is one who washes sins for once and for all, and who has offered the sacrifice that you and I couldn't dream of. Our Savior is not a dead Christ. He's the living Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is Jesus Christ, and his promises will never change. He's the same now, and he will be the same as he always was, as he was on Palm Sunday, as he was at his crucifixion, as he was all the way in the beginning when he thought of you. We thought of saving you. This is proved by verse 28, that God is eternal. But more than that, in his eternal will, he knew just how this must go. The apostles pray, "They did whatever your hand and your plan had decided beforehand should happen." God had a hand in all this. He knew exactly how this must go. You and I maybe need warning labels in order to understand how to treat one another. We really need to be told that we trust everyone but cut the deck. Trust everyone but verify, sometimes it's said. But God is so far beyond that. He knew before all these things happen how to account for moodiness, how to account for unreliability, insecurities, and all of our fluctuations, all of our sin. And then he knew how to put all these things together in just the right way so that all could be done to rescue us, to deliver us, and to save our souls now and in eternity. Now he proves this on this very Palm Sunday when he sent two of his disciples in to go and grab the colt, the foal of the donkey, just as Zechariah predicted in the Old Testament. He told them exactly what they needed to say. He shared with them the instructions. The disciples, it wasn't their idea for them to prop him up on a donkey and say, "This is going to be really cool. Let's send you into the city. And then everyone's going to raise their hands and praise you." No, they knew just as well as anybody that Jesus' enemies were planning to put him to death. And the friends of Jesus were as afraid of this plan as anyone was. It took Jesus' predictive plan and his holy will to tell his friends, this is what's going to happen. And not only this, but to stick to it and to be our Savior. Let the Father's will be done. So God took a hand in doing this, so that the outcome would be a substitutionary atonement, a sacrificial death, a justifying for all sinners of all time, and something that God holds out with the very same hand to you, to trust and to believe today. To know without a doubt that your sins are forgiven, and to know without a doubt that you didn't enter Jerusalem, you didn't enter his holiness, you didn't seek his glory, but precisely because of that, he came after you. In all of his grace and all of his mercy, his hand is here for you now. No mood swings, no change of plan, no lukewarm attitude for these cutthroats, only steadfast, faithful love on the wood of the tree. That hand of mercy, that hand of eternity pinned to the cross. Yet today, don't feel slighted for him. Don't feel sad for him. Don't be moved to tears for this, at least not tears of sadness, because he too comes with labels, not warnings, but promises. In the prayer, they call him the servant, hearkening back to the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, who would be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brings us peace upon him. By his wounds we're healed. He comes with the label of the anointed one, the Christ, from his Christmas birth when the angels hailed him as Christ, and at his baptism when anointed with the Holy Spirit. He comes as the forgiver of all sins. He comes as the redeemer of all humanity. He comes as the savior of everyone around you today. And he's carried those sins on the donkey and marched them straight to the cross. So trust. Trust that forgiveness. And forgiven, learn to be steadily and joyfully his. Learn to know what it is not to swing left or right along the path, but to battle against sin and to go out fighting. Go to those temptations with the weapons of prayer, with word, and with the promises of the sacrament, always renewed in what Jesus said through his servant at your baptism, that you are his and he is yours. For the sad, hard, and humbling part was his gift for you. Amen. Please stand.